base. Morning and welcome to St. Columba's on this, the fifth Sunday before Advent. It's also half term, and many of our parishioners are away enjoying time with their families, and we do hope that they will have safe travels. And I also hope that these coming days will give an opportunity for all of us to enjoy perhaps a slower pace of life, spending time with our families. And if this nice weather continues, it would be good to get some fresh air and also to enjoy the wonderful countryside upon which our parish church is in. So happy half term to one and all. Today is Songs of Praise, this being the fifth Sunday, and thank you to those of you who have selected the hymns, and some hymns may be new to us, and that is good. It's an opportunity to learn new hymns, and not just to sing the old favourites. And as is our custom, we'll have a little introduction about the hymn first. On some occasions, Dr. Joe McKee will play the whole tune through, and then we'll all enter in heartily and happily and enthusiastically to sing the hymn with great power. Just announcements to say that the November Columban is available for collection. Do please collect your copy before you leave. And also to note that the deadline for the next edition of the Columban, which is the combined December-January edition, is rapidly on the horizon. And that will be on the 8th of November. So a reminder to those who submit articles, please to note that date. I shall be away during this coming week, and for all parish matters, please contact Canon Ken Smith, and his contact details are in the pew news for you. Our first hymn, Come Let Us Join Our Cheerful Songs. What a nice, positive, cheerful hymn upon which to start our service. Hymn number 332. And you see in that section of the hymn book, it's under Gathering for Worship. So a very good hymn to start as we come in to church on this beautiful sunny day, having had an extra hour in bed, and well done to everyone for getting the clocks right this morning. And we come hopefully cheerful and hopefully positive to worship God, to give thanks for all the goodness and blessings that he gives to us, and to recognize that with our enthusiastic response. And so we come as cheerful people, not just, I hope, today, but every time we gather for services here in St. Columba's, to come with that sense of privilege of the opportunity of entering into worship, to give thanks to God, and also, of course, to seek God's guidance and blessing for all of us in our daily lives. There could hardly be a more joyful invitation to worship than this hymn, which we're now going to sing in just a moment, which from the very start bids us to come. And well done to those of you who have come, and thank you for coming. It's therefore an admirable opening hymn at any service, inviting us to share in the adoration of the whole company of heaven. Its author, Isaac Watts, included this hymn in Hymns and Spiritual Songs, where it was entitled Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God, Worshipped by All Creation. And this is a direct reference to the fifth chapter of Revelation in the New Testament. Watts, in a concise way, was basing his thoughts on the same passages of Scripture that inspired Handel to write his concluding chorus to the Messiah. And many of us would look forward to going to the Messiah before Christmas, where we would hear that again once more. And so we now enthusiastically and joyfully come as we get up to sing hymn number 332, Come Let's Join Our Cheerful Songs. We approach Remembrance Sunday in 2 weeks' time, when we'll gather here in St. Columba's for our Remembrance Day service and the Act of Remembrance. And during that service, it will be my very great privilege to name aloud those on the roll of honour whose names are inscribed on the front pillars of our church. And the next hymn that we're going to be singing is a hymn that is often sung on Remembrance Sunday, number 502, God, As With Silent Hearts We Bring to Mind. Now, this is a hymn that we've not sung before in St. Columba's on Remembrance Sunday, and so it's an opportunity for all of us this morning to sing the hymn and to learn the hymn as we are going to be singing it this year on Remembrance Sunday. A day which is very poignant, it's a very somber day, it's a day of reflection, it's a day of memory, as we remember before God with gratitude those who have made the supreme sacrifice, those who have given their lives, made the supreme sacrifice for us. And that is something, as every year passes by, that we must never, ever be allowed to forget. And the other important aspect of our Remembrance Day service is this. What lessons can we learn from the past to help us moving forward for the future? And surely the lesson that we need to hear loudly and clearly is to move forward in peaceful ways, to have a world where there is peace and recognition one of another. And this hymn, number 502, points us in that general direction very loudly and very firmly. God, as with silent hearts we bring to mind how hate and war diminish humankind, we pause and seek in worship to increase our knowledge of the things that make for peace. God, as with silent hearts we bring to mind. This hymn gets us to focus our priorities in a right perspective. What it is saying to us is that remembrance, desirable and necessary though it is futile in many respects if it is not accompanied by a clear vision of the future and a compassionate commitment to work for those things that make for peace, a commitment which will equally be the responsibilities of generations yet unborn. And this hymn is a strong pointer to get us to focus our efforts as best we can, giving thanks for those who made the supreme sacrifice. And the tune we're going to be singing is called The Supreme Sacrifice. And then to move forward with a greater determination for peace. And so Dr. McKee is now going to play this tune through first for us, and then we'll all stand and sing hymn number 502.
The God of Abraham prays. One of the great figures of the Jewish, the Muslim, and the Christian faiths was and is Abraham. The book Genesis in the Old Testament tells us that he was born thousands of years before Christ. He and his family, including his father Terah, his wife, Sarah, and others, lived a fairly nomadic existence, moving, we think, along river valleys with their animals before settling in Haran. Abraham believed that God was calling him to travel on to the land known as Canaan, where God promised to make him and his people a great nation. However, there was a severe famine in Canaan, and Abraham was forced to move on to Egypt. Some years later, Abraham returned to Canaan, which in the course of time became the promised land, now known as Israel. Perhaps you'll not be too surprised to know that the outline of the hymn we'll sing had its origins in Jewish or Hebrew literature. After all, Abraham is regarded as the first of the Hebrew patriarchs, the father of the Jewish nation. Almost 1,000 years ago, a Jewish scholar brought together a number of statements and codified them into articles of the Jewish faith. In a sense, they were the Jewish equivalent of the Christian creed, which we recite regularly at services here in St. Columba's. Look at your hymnal, and below number 323, you'll notice three Hebrew words. Now, fast forward to the 18th century, when Thomas Oliver's, an ardent follower of John Wesley, regarded as the founder of Methodism, was inspired to write the hymn when he heard someone sing the song of praise to the God of Abraham in a Jewish synagogue in London. John Wesley recognized Thomas Oliver's talents and persuaded him to join his team of evangelists. And not surprisingly, the hymn found its way quickly into the Methodist hymn book. The hymn is packed with scriptural expressions and allusions, encouraging us to picture a journey in praise to the God of Abraham from earth to heaven. Interestingly, as we prepare to sing, note that with the exception of the final verse, the hymn today could be sung by Christians and Jews alike. The God of Abraham prays. Thank you. God sends us refreshing rain. The next hymn I've been asked to introduce doesn't rank among my favourites for at least two reasons. Well, firstly, because shortly before I sat down to think about it, I was soaked thanks to one of many heavy showers recently, prompting me to think that God might send refreshing rain at some other time. Secondly, it's not one of my favourites because I don't recall ever singing the hymn, which was only published 16 years ago. The hymn was written by Meeta Whitaker, which begs the question, or two questions. Was she Irish? And the answer is yes, because when I consulted Google and what would we do without Google, I discovered that her funeral service took place in Christ Church Taney in Dublin in 2014. And that maybe begs another question. Was she perhaps related to a one-time rector of this parish, Canon W.J. Whitaker, who himself, I believe, was a native of either Dublin or Wicklow? The hymn acknowledges the goodness and bountiful nature of God and serves to remind us that we're fortunate to live in such a temperate climate as ours. As for the tune, it was composed by the late Dr. Harry Grindle, whose parents were parishioners when I served as a curate in Bangor Abbey many years ago. Now, to be quite honest, when it comes to this hymn, I'm clutching at straws. I know little or nothing about it. And when you're clutching at straws, you turn to somebody else for help, and there's nobody better here this morning than Dr. McKee. Thank you.
Well, there we are. I just want to say something generally about this service when we have it in musical terms. Each month, I'm invited round to the rectory for a planning meeting for the hymns. So the hymns each month are based on the lectionary, on the psalm, on the epistle and gospel of the Old Testament, New Testament readings, but as well as picking hymns where the words and the texts are appropriate, the rector and I have a thought about we need a good tune at the start, we need a good tune at the end, and we need, if it's Holy Communion, a Eucharistic hymn in the middle and so on. So a lot of time goes into selecting the hymns. And then at this service, when we have five Sundays in the month, we put up a sheet at the back, and thank you all of you who contribute hymns to that. So we pick out hymns which obviously mean a great deal to people. But the rector has always been keen, since I was appointed, that we use this opportunity to learn new tunes or tunes that are a little more demanding. And I'm so pleased that a number of years ago, when the Select Vestry bought the new hymn books, that you each have a melody edition so you can follow the tune and see how the notes go up and down. I left primary school in 1963, and I remember that's when two things happened. The Beatles started to produce their wonderful succession of hit tunes, but it was also the birth of stereophonic sound. So there was a revolution in music in the British Isles from around that time. But I remember as a young boy, just starting the organ, that last tune that we've just sung, that big Jewish tune, being struck by the wonderful strength of that melody. But since the 60s onwards, hymn tunes have tended to be much more melodic and simple in their structure. So it's good that we can look back on our legacy of hymns. And similarly, the tune that we've just had earlier too, O Valiant Hearts, or O the Supreme Sacrifice, it's good that we sing those. If you've been listening to the radio or television recently, you can't avoid the anniversary of Luther and the Reformation. So again, that wonderful hymn, Ein fester Berg, will come up in a moment. But my job was to pad out what Canon Smith has been saying about the next tune. Harry Grindle was the significant church musician of his generation. Again, in the 60s, when I was beginning to learn about church music, I enjoyed many, many visits to St. Anne's Cathedral, where he set a standard of choral music that was completely new and fresh and aligned our cathedral in Belfast with the high standards of the professional choirs in England. Harry went on later in his career to influence hundreds of trainee teachers who came through Stranmillets College. He was fastidious about the grammar and syntax of music, and he prepared many people for their examinations, and he was a stickler for proper chords, proper harmonies, and everything else. This tune, which he's written for this particular hymn, is typical of his elegance and style. It's in a, broadly in a ternary form. In other words, the tune that you hear in the first phrase has then a contrasting new tune, and then the original tune modified comes back. You'll see that the tune is called Cairnburn, and Harry and Heather, his wife, lived round in Cairnburn, not very far, just outside the boundaries of this parish. I worked with Harry just a few weeks before his untimely death examining for the Guild of Church Musicians down in Armagh. So his loss a couple of years was tremendous to the Ulster Society of Organists and Choirmasters and to the church musicians generally. I'm going to suggest that we sit for this hymn. It's much more relaxed than the hymns on either side. I'm going to play the melody through, first of all, on the piano to show that it's reasonably straightforward. And then I'm going to invite Caroline to come and sing verse one, and then we all join in and sing the remaining verses.
As most people will know, the last Sunday in October has always been referred to as Reformation Sunday. And again, as I think all of us will know, that this year is an important anniversary. It marks the 500th anniversary commemorating Martin Luther's nailing or posting of his 95 Theses to the church door in Wittenberg. And he did that in protest against what was known as the sale of indulgences. The sale of indulgences was that you paid money to the priest to have your sins forgiven. Martin Luther wrote some 37 hymns, many of them with their own melodies. Martin was a talented musician as well as a talented theologian. He has said, "Besides theology, music is the only art capable of affording peace and joy of the heart." That's a thought worth remembering, especially as we sing our songs of praise. Let me repeat that. He said, "Besides theology, music is the only art capable of affording peace and joy of the heart." The hymn that we are about to sing is a paraphrase of Psalm 46, "God is our hope and strength." And if you look at the hymn, you'll see that we have three verses, or stanzas if you like. The first verse speaks of God as our rock, a rock to help us in danger. Now, Martin Luther is not specifically talking about physical danger, although that will come into it as well. He is talking about spiritual danger, that we are in spiritual danger of temptation and the presence of the evil one or the devil around us. Verse 2 recognizes Christ as our only hope. He is the one who will fight for us. He is the one who will win the final victory through his cross. That is why you see that this hymn is under the section headed "The Christian Hope." The third verse proclaims that the Word of God will act in judgment at the end of time, and that God's kingdom and his kingdom alone will triumph over evil. Now, that powerful theology has been expounded by the churches of the Reformation ever since, called, as we know, the Protestant faith. Now, the word "protest" is a word, like many other English words, that have shifted in meaning. But the original meaning of the word "protest" is to bear witness for. Pro-test, for testament. And the tune is equally powerful. It's a German tune, "Ein fester Berg ist unser Gott," "Our God is a firm stronghold," written by Martin Luther himself. Hymn 668. this next hymn, God is Love, is under the section entitled The Fatherhood of God. Strangely enough, Christ's name is not even mentioned, but the hymn, of course, is very, very deeply Christian in its content. Written by Timothy Rees, who became the Bishop of Glandaff, although it is generally accepted that the hymn is based on an earlier hymn dating back to medieval days. It's a hymn that's inspired by the New Testament book, the first letter general of St. John, particularly chapter 4 and verse 8, which reads as follows. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. The point being is that God is not simply a great, big, loving, caring, all-embracing God. He is love. Not a verb, but a proper noun, an actual title that belongs to God and to God alone. No mortal can ever hold that title. As with the last hymn, there are three verses or stanzas. The first verse proclaims God as creator of heaven and earth. Not only that, but he is proclaimed as creator of love. And it is because of that that we sing to him, we exalt him, we rejoice in him. Verse 2 reminds us that God's love reaches, as it says, every child of every race. Not only that, but when human hearts are breaking, the heart of God also breaks and aches with us. Verse 3, God's love never ceases for us, it reminds us, even, in fact, especially, when we turn away from him and fall into sin repeatedly because of our human nature and weakness. All of that is only possible because God bears that divine title, love. The tune is Abbot's Lee. Where would we be in our hymn book without Abbot's Lee? So often sung, a fantastic tune. Abbot's Lee is, in fact, a small town close to Bristol, near that famous Clifton Suspension Bridge. And so we come now to singing this hymn, which is our offertory hymn, number 3.
Thank you.
Lord, yours is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all things come from you, and of your own we give you. Let us pray. The collect for today, the fifth Sunday before Advent. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, help us so to hear them, to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that through patience and the comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and forever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you've given us in our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Grant us, O Lord our God, ever to find in you a very present help in trouble. When we are in the darkness of doubt or perplexity, shed your light upon our way. When we are burdened with the affairs of our daily life, lift us to the calm of thy presence. When we are battling with temptation and the flesh is weak, by the might of your Spirit, make us strong to overcome. We ask these things through him in whom we are more than conquerors, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. As our Saviour Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Having started our songs of praise with that sense of privilege of coming to worship God, and having reflected throughout this service on different hymns that are so relevant to this season that we are in, as Dr. McKee has already alluded to, every month he and I meet to reflect on the hymns and to have hymns in our services that connect with the lectionary, and also that connect with all of us where we are at each stage on our journey of faith. And that has been very much, I hope, reflected in the hymns of today. We've had the hymns for the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, hymns on creation, hymns on faith, hymns upon being cheerful and positive in our worship. And now we conclude with hymn number 641, Yield Not to Temptation, for Yielding is Sin. That sense of a positive note upon which to leave St. Columba's, to go back out into the community from whence we came earlier this morning to serve God in the midst of all of the temptations that are around. And this hymn offers in many ways a sense of encouragement and a sense of focus, telling us that we're not on our own in our journey of faith, but that God is with us. And the question is, of course, are we with God to connect with him, to be strengthened by him in our daily walk with God, in the midst of all of the opportunities, in the midst of all of the challenges that we are about day and daily? The words of the chorus are, I believe, very helpful. Ask the Saviour to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. And that is a sense of privilege that we hear that. But the question is, what is our response to that invitation of help coming from Christ? Like any invitation, there is a choice. And I hope that we will respond in the positive, in the affirmation, to connect with Christ, to be strengthened by him in those moments of temptation, as we've just had in the prayer that we've joined in this service. And so I hope this hymn, one of instruction, one of guidance, one of direction, written for Sunday schools in years past, and yet we're all children of faith, a hymn to offer encouragement to help us on our way as cheerful people. And so we stand and sing hymn number 641, Yield Not to Temptation. Love and serve the Lord.